You can't measure what you don't track. If you're not measuring it, I mean, if you're not tracking it, then you can't measure it. So you don't know if it's working. We don't know if it's my efforts or his efforts or the combined efforts.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, what's up, podcaster? It is Adam A. Adams, and I just got off a call with an engineer. And first and foremost, if you're an engineer, I already like you. I don't know what it is, but I am prejudiced toward engineers. It's kind of funny. When I launched my very first podcast a long time ago, and I started doing real estate, many of you know that I did sell that podcast, the real estate podcast, in 2020. I saw the market kind of shifting. I noticed that the market was going to be changing a little bit. And so I was only doing real estate, and I had a podcast, but I was only doing real estate through 2019. And in the middle of 2019, I'm like, I need to figure out something to do before we hit a crash. And so I launched my podcast company. I had helped a lot of people before that. And I launched the podcast company, started the podcast company, and started serving just a few friends. And the virtual assistants that I already had working for my real estate company, they started helping me with that podcasting business. And that kind of took off in July of 19. And it was a lot of fun. And I remember with my real estate business, and I still do that, I have like 300 real estate rental units, right? It's kind of crazy to most people, but we had over 1,400 at one point. So 300 sounds like a small number to me. But the point is, we started selling in 2019. I got nervous. I was like, nope, there's going to be a crash within the next 3 years. As I record this, it's middle of 2022. And some people would argue that we've been in a recession since 2021. There certainly was some craziness with COVID in 2020. And the points that I want to make is, my avatar when I was doing real estate investing was somebody who liked to be thorough, somebody who liked to crunch numbers, somebody who liked to connect with other people, and somebody who I was fascinated with. And I'm fascinated by engineers. So my avatar for my real estate company was Siva Venugopalan. Siva is, when he became my avatar in the beginning, he was a 42-year-old male Indian engineer, bridge engineer from the Northeast, New Jersey. And he had a certain amount of kids and a certain amount of money in the bank, and he's done a certain amount of things. And that was my perfect avatar. And what's kind of cool is anytime that I went to any real estate event or many other types of events, if I met somebody who fit a lot of that, my person was 42-year-old male Indian engineer with kids, blah, 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 blah. So for example, if there was a woman who was an engineer, but fit some of those other criterias, that would be a really easy for me to resonate with. Or if there was a male Indian that wasn't an engineer, but they had some other cool job that I was fascinated about, that would kind of be my avatar as well. But my main guy was Siva. Siva is a real person. He's become a friend of mine, and he's invested in our company multiple times. The point is, I've always loved engineers. I've always been like prejudice toward them, engineers. And sorry if you're not an engineer, I still like you, but I'm just saying, like, there's something fascinating about the way that engineers think. And I always learn something. I always enjoy those conversations. Today, I had a conversation with Zach White from the Happy Engineer podcast. I will make sure that my team has the Happy Engineer podcast in the show notes so you can go and check him out, because he's just phenomenal guy. I really, really, really like him a lot. And I was embarrassed on our call. I mean, had my tail between my legs, and I was surprised at some things because he just thinks so different than me, who is an ADD, dyslexic business owner who, if you do these things called predictive index, you could also do DISC. You could also do DISC profiling, D-I-S-K or something like that. I forgot the letters. But then there's another one called like culture index. The point is that the detail for me is off the charts low. The detail, pay attention to details, for most engineers, people that gravitate toward engineering, is usually off the charts high. So there's an average, and then there's an average range, and then there's a high range and a low range. And then there's off the charts low versus off the charts high. My D, not D on disk, but D on predictive index, that's the detail, the level of detail that I care about, is really low. I don't care how it's done. I just want it done. That's my normal quote. Like a lot of entrepreneurs would feel that way too. I don't care how I make money. I just want to make money. I don't care how to get these results. I just want the results. I don't care. You're going through the details of the process that you want to do. It's too much. It's too many details. Just get it done. Don't tell me all the details. I don't care how it's done. Just do it. And that's how most of us entrepreneurs are. Zach is quite different. He became an entrepreneur as well. And he's amazing at sales and he's amazing at business. And it's not just the details, but that's where he gravitates. Okay. So I'm having this call with him. And here's what I'm embarrassed about. We're going through his reports. Zach is a client of ours. And every month or so, we try to give a report every 4 to 6 weeks. So approximately once a month, Zach will get a report that shows all of the subscribers, the downloads, the ratings, the reviews, the listens, the scores, the rankings, all of those things. It goes on a monthly report that we send every 4 to 6 weeks. And Zach, we've already achieved what we said we would achieve with him. He has a 12-month contract and we got to everything like before the 6 month. And so he's like, well, what's next? And I'm like, we're just going to keep growing. And he's like, growing is like not a, like, you can't just say growing, Adam. Well, growing to what? Growing in what direction? Growing with what? How are you going to measure that? And I'm like, we're going to measure it because it's going to be bigger than it was yesterday. You know, it's like, what do you want from me, Zach? Growing is growing. Bigger is bigger. What we don't want is it to stay stagnant or go backwards. And to me, it's like so obvious because I'm thinking, growth is growth. We just want to keep going. But he's like, but going to what, Adam? Going to what? What? Growing to what? What do you want to achieve exactly? He talked about how, for one, he hasn't gotten any written reviews. He's gotten quite a bit of ratings. The ratings have gone up, but the written reviews are less. And I'm going to let you know now, it's much harder to get a written review than it is a rating. People are very willing to just click on some stars, give a rating, and they're not willing to like spend time and effort and actually say like what they think about this. And it's disappointing. And he asked me, how do we know? A lot of these ratings and reviews that have been coming in the last 6 months are my friends. Like I specifically know that I asked them to leave a written review. And so like, what's normal? What do you want to track? What is going to happen? And so I sat there and I'm like, you know what's funny, Zach? None of this stuff is on here. And I feel like embarrassed. Like we could have easily put on your report. So I didn't have to go and search for it because it changes a little bit. Our clients typically get a certain amount of written reviews or ratings or downloads based on whatever package that they're paying for. You generally will fall into a range. And he's like, well, what's the range? Like, how do we know if it's even working? And so the point is, you can't measure what you don't track. And I got off that call today with Zach and I was like, man, it's not just growing is growing. It's not just work is work. I can see exactly how many dollars I'm putting into Facebook ads. So my thought is, okay, we're spending on Zach's podcast $300 a month on just the Facebook ads. We also pay our guy to manage the ads, which is quite expensive, but we're putting in ad spend on Facebook $10 a day. I can measure that. But he's like, but what does this mean? And we're talking about the private message campaign. I can measure that I pay somebody part-time for his podcast. For our top tier, they get a full-time person private messaging. And so he's like, how do we know if this is working? And I'm like, but we're doing the work. I'm paying somebody part-time, 20 hours a week, only to private message for you. And he's like, yeah, but what is their goal? What are they trying to achieve? What are their KPIs? Key performance indicators. How do we know if it's working, Adam? And I could sense a little bit of frustration in somebody whose main way of thinking is the D on the predictive index is way off the charts to the right, which is the attention to detail. And mine is the D is way off to the left with, I don't want to be bogged down with all these little details. I just want to look at bigger picture. How do we know if it's working? Well, look at your downloads. Your podcast is growing every month. And he's like, yeah, but how do we know if that's you? How do we know if that's me? He goes, because I'm working my ass off. I don't know if he used that language. He's basically saying, I'm working my ass off over here without you, making 5 social media posts a week. I see that it's growing, but what if I fired you and all I did is just kept doing it? Would it still be growing? I don't know. Why don't we know? We don't know because it's not being tracked. So I never wanted to figure out and track and measure the click-through rates on Facebook. I never wanted to or cared about having my team member who's doing the private messaging to take the extra time to like log, today I sent out this many messages. Today, this many people replied. Today, this many people said that they listened to it. Today, this many people said that they were going to leave a rating and a written review. These are their names. He mentioned in his business, he's got like a checklist that his team will use when they're doing the work for his marketing campaign. Whereas one client, they'll need to have different check marks. Did he schedule the call? Yes. Okay. Check. What's next? And I'm thinking about it and embarrassed because I'm like, man, I should have been doing this all along. Like, you're right. So I'm working to fix my stuff. And the point of this whole podcast episode is A, Adam's not perfect, but he's always trying. B, you can't measure what you don't track. If you're not measuring it, I mean, if you're not tracking it, excuse me, then you can't measure it. So you don't know if it's working. We don't know if it's my efforts or his efforts or the combined efforts that are getting the results. His podcast is absolutely seeing results, but how do we know where that's coming from? We're not tracking it. We're not using those KPIs. We're not writing down these metrics. And so these details that I used to not care about, and I still hate them. I still don't want to do the details. I'm like, F that, man. That's extra work. That's extra money. That's going to take some resources away from what we can do for your podcast. F that. That's my normal go-to. I'm like, why waste our time? We can see the bigger picture is working. But he's right. If we don't measure it, if we don't track it, if we don't mark these details on, we'll never know if it's my efforts or his efforts that are getting these results. We'll never know if it's my DM campaign that we run for our top clients or if it's our Facebook ads that we run for our top clients. Like, which one is working? Which one's doing what? Like, we can see the bigger picture working, but we don't know specifically where it's coming from. And because of that, we can't double down on the stuff that's working. Split testing, A/B testing. We're putting a couple different ads out. We want to figure out how, which one's performing. And what we do is we choke and restrict the one that's not working. And we fuel and stoke the one that is working. And it sounds so simple now that I had a conversation with an engineer who opened up my mind to it. I just wanted to share this with you in your business. Definitely start tracking this stuff, but also on your podcast. And I bring this up because of another conversation that I had today. I was actually interviewing somebody on my podcast. And during that interview with them, they were talking about how your numbers are not important. I never agree with that, by the way. I let them speak when they're on my podcast, but a lot of them are like, hey, don't worry about this. The numbers aren't important. Just put out good content. I had that interview earlier today, and obviously I disagree with that. The numbers are important, and I've always liked the bigger picture numbers. Now I'm thinking KPI numbers, key performance indicators. What are these things? Like, we looked and we basically could only account for like one written review that didn't come from his own efforts, right? And so he asked me, how many do we normally get? And I go, I don't know the number because we've never tracked that. We're going to start now. But I was like, I don't know that number. We've never tracked specifically just written reviews because sometimes you might get 5 written reviews and nobody else is rating. Or other times you might get 100 people rating, but only 1 or 2 that are actually spending the time to write. And so it's like, we wanted to track the overall just ratings because that's more universal. But with the written reviews, it's like, because we've never tracked that. He goes, well, how do we know if this is working? All of the ones that are on there are from him, are from what Zach did on his own. And he goes, how many do your clients normally get? And I was like, probably 1 or 2. Like normally you're going to get like every other week or something like that. Every 3 weeks, you're probably going to get a written review. Like 1 or 2 a month is more than feasible. And he hasn't had any. He's just had 1, but a few months ago. He hasn't had really hardly any from specifically from ours. And so I'm like dumbfounded. I'm a deer in the headlights being like, F, man, this is a wake up call. Most of our clients are getting the written reviews too, but like we haven't tracked that at all for you. And so I never realized that it was a problem. So we need to like have some type of KPI. And maybe for my team, okay, whatever. Maybe 1 month you get 0. Maybe 2 months in a row you get 0. Fine. That's okay. It's hard to like guarantee a written review unless we're paying people to write the reviews, right? It's hard to guarantee it unless we are being able to just buy it. It gets challenging. So it's like we've never tracked it because I don't know. I think I was afraid that we would fall short if we were tracking. But now I'm like, man, we've been falling short for Zach. Maybe not our other clients, but for Zach, we've been falling short. Like he's been getting the written reviews, but I didn't realize that those were his friends, his family, his podcast guests that he's specifically asking, leave me a review. And he knows them. He knows their name. So I'm seeing a certain amount, but I don't know if there are. So here's my takeaway for that is that we're looking at our DM campaign, which is a place which is more likely to see the written reviews from because of the way we do the 5 things, which are get followers, get downloads, get listens, get ratings and reviews, and then get the people to keep coming back. So that DM campaign is one of the best places for our team to be able to get written reviews. But it hasn't been working. So here's the thing. We've been seeing the number go up, but they were from him. So now that I'm looking at this, it's like when we ask somebody to leave a written review, basically what we do is we send them a podcast. Eventually, it takes months to do this. Just so you know, it's not getting married on the first date. We're not proposing immediately. It takes months to go through it. But the point is that at a few months after we're connected, we'll usually send them an episode and say, hey, do you want to hear this episode? It has these good takeaways. Would you like me to send it? Yes, I would. Okay, here's the episode that you wanted to listen to. Let me know what you think about it, ? And then they'll let us know. They'll say something like, this is what I thought about it. It was really good. And then we go to them and we say, hey, what you just said about, let's just call it Zach's podcast, The Happy Engineer. Hey, what you just told me about Zach's podcast, it's awesome. I bet you Zach would be thrilled if all you did is copied and pasted what you just wrote me and leave it as a written review on his podcast. So they could easily go and do that. And we've been doing that, but we haven't been writing their name down. So as we keep seeing these written reviews coming through, like on a regular basis, we're thinking, this is from us. We did this. But in actuality, we didn't do all of that. So if all we needed to do was just track the name of the people that we're talking about, like sometimes they have names that have numbers in them and they're just like some people's usernames are not their full name. Sometimes you can only get like 1 username. And so you've always got to like add numbers to it or add dots to it or spell it backwards or whatever. People are always getting creative. The point is we can at least take their name down. And then when we see the review, we can track to see if we feel like that came from us. Like maybe it's A-Rod. Let's say it's A-Rod. A-R-O-D is the name on there. But we had a guy named Aaron Rodriguez who we spoke to. And this is A-Rod. It's like, would that I can assume we probably had something to do with that one because we spoke with him, right? We talked to somebody with those. It seems like they're creating that from their name. Or it could be Aaron 12345. And it was like, you know what? That's happened just a couple of days after we said that to them. Their bulls, their names are Aaron. It's reasonable to think that we had something to do with this. Here we were thinking that it was all us and Zach's been marketing it as well. And so anyway, I'm committing now to being better at tracking. It's going to be hard because I'm going to have to figure out like how to take those financial resources to make it happen. But I also realize that there's a lot of problems that we can get when we're not tracking the KPIs. So take that, do that in your own podcast, do that in your own business. And if you're listening to this, and you are, I'm here with you, you're listening, I can almost see you. Just listen to the next episode. It is an interview episode with me and a guest. And that guest is a podcaster, and we'll get into their story, their best takeaways, their best advice for you, a podcaster. See you there. This is serious. Don't go. Now that you've gotten whatever value that you feel that you got, the actionable takeaways, you need to implement the stuff that you learn. If you remember me talking about bird church once, and they learn how to fly, and then they walk home, I don't want you to walk home. I want you to fly home. So take the steps, take the actionable steps for your benefit so that you can become a better podcaster. That's the only thing that I ask of you. And I'll see you for more actionable tips on the very next episode.